Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. And hey, you know what Friday means.
Start spreading the news.
That's right. The music means that Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, how are you?
All right. I've never been more proud to be a Cub fan.
Yes, as we all are. And, yeah, you know, it is the trade deadline in Major League Baseball today. Well, actually, it's come and gone, and there were a lot of deals. I'm not buying the this is the greatest trade deadline ever. But, you know, if you were a fan of certain teams, it went really well for you. If you're a fan of other teams, well, not so much. So, you know, just one of those things, you know, that's how it goes. But
the Braves made a deal?
Huh?
Did you see that the Atlanta Braves
made
a deal?
Yeah.
An ex-Cub going to Atlanta.
Oh, who did they end up picking up?
Soler.
Oh yeah, that's right. I did see that. It's interesting. They added multiple outfielders today because they added Adam Duvall. Sorry, earlier in the day.
I saw, by the way, and this is not too important, but I saw that Soler leads the league in a very interesting stat: catcher interference.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, hey, you know, at least he's getting on base.
Yeah, that's right. Six times this season. That's got to be a record, huh? Yeah. Or close to it.
It wouldn't surprise me if it is or if he's on the brink there of possibly setting a record for that. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, it's no surprise when Kansas City moves anybody. It seems like everybody but Whit Merrifield is available there. So, but, yeah, Soler was the American League leader in home runs last year.
Was it last year or the year before?
2 years ago. Yeah, last year was that abomination of a season.
Right.
Yeah, it was actually 2 years ago. And what I actually, the biggest thing I found humorous about that was, you know, all we ever talk about is home runs and how great they are, and it's the most important thing in the world when it comes to baseball. And somehow he managed not to even get one MVP vote. I mean, not even a 10th place vote. But yet these are so important.
Yeah, you would think a guy hitting 48 home runs would get one vote at least, right?
You would think somebody would have found a way to put him on their ballot 10th, but they couldn't come up with it, I guess. So, you know, it's a good deal. I mean, you know, he's worth taking a shot on. I don't know how much is left on that contract the Cubs signed him to. So, you know, I don't know if the Braves are picking up any money, if the Royals sent some cash along with it.
Well, he certainly tapered off this year and hasn't had a very good year for the Royals.
Well, he's been hurt. So, he's back healthy now, and he just went on a home run tear.
Well, maybe the Braves can make a run at the Mets.
Yeah, you know, and it's weird because, you know, that's what they seem to be setting up for, and I was quite surprised that the Phillies didn't do more. So,
yeah, that is surprising because aren't the Phillies now in second place?
Yeah, they're in second place. You know, the Braves are actually in third. You know, they're both still relatively close. If my internet will cooperate with me, I can give you the standings here in a second. Yeah, the Phillies are 3.5 out, and the Braves are 4 out. So they're really, really close. And Philadelphia really kind of saved their bacon last night with that huge rally against the Braves. Otherwise, they would have got swept in a doubleheader.
Yeah. Of course, there's no stopping the Mets now, right?
Well, you know, you wouldn't think, but, you know, for whatever reason, they seem to be injury-prone.
Well, we've talked about that before. Yeah, they have had a history of injuries over the past 4 or 5 years, not just this year.
You know, and, you know, slowly but surely, guys are starting to come back. They're actually getting Carlos Carrasco back tonight. He's making his first start of the season, if you can believe that. You know, Michael Conforto is finally back. So is Brandon Nimmo. But, of course, Francisco Lindor is out still. So they did, you know, they did deal for a fill-in shortstop today along with another starting pitcher. You know, we'll see how, you know, how that plays out.
It'll be very interesting the rest of the season to see how these moves are going to help the teams, the ones that at least were buyers.
Yeah, well, you know what I found really interesting to me in all of this is, you know, as of now, the Dodgers and the Padres are wild card teams, and they made some big-time moves. You know, the Dodgers went out and got Max Scherzer and Trey Turner, which was just huge. You know, the Padres made, you know, bigger moves early. They couldn't seem to get anything done today. But, you know, they did add Adam Frazier, and, of course, they had a fantastic offseason. You know, one of these teams is, you know, as it stands right now, is only going to get to play one playoff game.
Yeah,
and
right.
It seems like a lot to do and a lot to spend for the opportunity to play just one game, doesn't it?
Well, I think that deep down the Dodgers are still – have a team to beat. They may be having a down season, but there's still some baseball time left for them to pass the Giants.
Yeah, and, you know, you do have to wonder because the Giants didn't do much at all. I mean, their only addition was Chris Bryant. And, you know, it really seemed as though they needed pitching help, especially in the back end of the bullpen.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
You know, they have a 3-game lead on the Dodgers. The Padres are 5.5 back, so they're in a good spot to at least get in the playoff. But I don't know if they'd be able to hang on to that division lead, and then they're in that same spot. They're playing the possibility of just one playoff game.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah,
you know,
the Giants,
and you do wonder why they didn't do more.
You would think that they would have done something in terms of pitching, and they've had a very good year, but there's still 2 months of baseball left, a little over 2 months, actually, and a lot can happen, especially if you have a thin pitching staff.
Yeah, you know, and what I am wondering is maybe they didn't want to part with some of those higher-level prospects that teams would have wanted to get a quality pitcher.
Possibly, yeah.
So, you know, we'll see if this kind of comes up to, you know, bite them in the end. But, yeah, they're, you know, they basically stood pat with the exception of Bryant.
I have to assume that they still have a lot of games remaining to play against the Dodgers in the month of August and September.
Well, you know, that actually would not surprise me, being that, you know, it's interdivision, but I can double check here. I know they had some series against each other already. Let's see. Well, Well, it's not going to be for a while, I can tell you that. They have a They're hosting the Dodgers Labor Day weekend, the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of September. Then they have the Padres in for four, the 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. They'll go to San Diego again for three games at the end of September, 21st, 22nd, 23rd. And then they end their season by hosting San Diego the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of October. So they only have three more games against the Dodgers.
Well, that's surprising. But they San Diego is a very competitive club, so it's not going to be an easy last month for the Giants.
No, and they do have a relatively tough schedule here. You know, tonight they start a series with the Astros. Then they have Milwaukee on the schedule. They'll also face the Mets, the A's, and then the Mets again in a quick turnaround. Then it's the Braves, the Brewers before that Dodger series. And then it's Padres, Braves, Padres. You know, luckily for them, they do have some series mixed in with Colorado, Arizona, and the Cubs that are going to be very winnable. But this is going to be a tough stretch here, you know, the end of August here, July, August, September, and October for them.
It's got to be tough because they're playing first-place teams. They're playing Houston and the Mets. And so it's going to be a tough role. See if they can, but they surprised me so far. They've held that lead for most of the season. I thought for sure by now the Dodgers would have passed them, but so far that hasn't been the case.
Yeah, it just, you know, it's been one of the bigger surprises, you know, that they managed to kind of stick around and hang on. So
have they mentioned, by the way, where Chris Bryant's going to play for them? Or?
Well, you know, my guess is right now he'll play third because Evan Longoria is on the 60-day DL. There is a chance he'll play some first base as well because Brandon Belt is also hurt. So, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, they haven't officially said where he'll go.
Well, they're fortunate that he can play so many different positions.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very, very lucky on their part that they have that, you know, with them. You know, there is a possibility, you know, he may play, my guess is he may play some left field against left-handed pitching because they use Alex Dickerson out there, and he's not having a great year. I mean, he's hitting .220 with 10 home runs, so he's not really blowing anything up. So,
Brian,
you know, I won't be surprised.
Brian has crushed the left-handed pitching this year, too.
I won't be surprised to see the Giants move him around just like the Cubs did.
Well, it's certainly setting up to be an interesting 2 months of baseball coming, starting, August 1st is when, Sunday. Sunday is the first of the month.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, but yeah, it's definitely, you know, it was definitely an interesting day, but I did get tired of listening to the one thing that just fed me up, I got fed up with was listening to, well, you know, this guy's the, you know, this prospect or that prospect or he's this prospect and I'm that prospect. You know, it really doesn't mean anything because you don't know how these guys are actually going to develop. I mean, when you look at the players the Cubs got, with the exception of Nick Mandrigal and Cody Hire, everybody else is in Class A or even lower in rookie ball. When are we going to see these guys? 5-6 years down the road?
If ever. One of the pitchers the Cubs got, I don't remember his name now, has already had two Tommy John surgeries. And that doesn't give me much confidence in seeing if he's ever going to make it to the big club.
You know, like they were talking about how, you know, the Blue Jays gave up this incredibly high-ranking prospect as part of their deal to get Jose Berrios. Well, A, Berrios is one of the best pitchers in baseball. He's probably at least top 10, maybe top 5 in some people's case. He's got another year of control, so you're going to have to give up something to get him. Then when I look into this kid, he's in Class A ball. How does that make him a top-ranking prospect? He hasn't played against anybody, yet he's this incredible prospect, and I get it. Some of them work out. Some of the other ones turn into Ian Happ.
Yeah, that's right, too. Perish the thoughts.
So, you know, I mean, what happens if this kid goes out and lays an egg? Did they really give up to get him? No, not really. But yet they had, I can't believe this is what they gave up, and, it's incredible that they would part with such a prospect to get a great pitcher is why they parted with him.
Would you equate this Cubs sell-off to something that Chuck Finley used to do with Oakland back in the day?
No, it wasn't that bad, because remember, Finley actually tried to sell players, and the commissioner stopped him.
Yeah, that's right, too.
No, you know, I mean, what this was, what the Cubs did was, you know, the exact same thing that that the Nationals did. This is baseball today. When guys are in the final year of their contract, like, you know, all these players were that the Cubs and the Nationals dealt today, if you can't sign them or you don't believe you can sign them, you try to move them to get something for them.
Yeah.
You know, because as it worked out, you know, the Colorado Rockies couldn't get a deal done for Trevor Story. So now all they're going to get at the end of the year when he walks away is a compensatory draft pick, which is nothing anymore. It doesn't mean anywhere close to what it used to mean. So was it worth it to hang on to him? Probably not.
Yeah. And all these transactions, really, when you think about it, stem from the Kirk Flood ruling of many years ago.
Yeah, I mean, you can go through the players that were traded, and I'm willing to bet, you know, 95% of them are in the last year of their contracts. We know everybody the Cubs dealt was. We know everybody the Nationals dealt was.
Yeah,
you know, with the exception of Kimbrel, who does have an option, but technically he's in the last year of his contract.
Right, excluding the option year, that's correct.
Yeah. You know, and can you explain to me what the Cardinals did by any chance? I mean, they picked up John Lester and J.A. Happ. I understand that they needed starting pitching, but does that really improve them and make them competitive with the Brewers or even in the wild card race?
I wouldn't think so.
Because, I didn't really understand that. I mean, they're 7.5 out. They're in third place. Or, no, they're 9.5 out in the division, 7.5 out in the wild card. I think that's where they're going to remain, too.
That's where they're going to remain, even though Cincinnati has a porous bullpen and the pitching isn't very good. They have enough power to overcome that and at least wind up in second place in that division.
Yeah, and I mean, Cincinnati did nothing at the deadline. You know, I mean, they added nobody.
No. And they desperately needed pitching, too.
Yeah, be it starter, but really relievers. They needed some bullpen help, and there was plenty of it out there. Cases like that, what that tells me is their front office doesn't believe they're a real contender.
And because they're in the central, they still have an outside chance of making it as a wild card.
Oh no, they're nowhere close with the wild card because you've got both the uh, the NL West teams that are just dominating that. I mean, they're
That's true.
You know, they're already, you know, they're five out in the wild card. They're not going to make that up unless the Dodgers, Padres, or Giants just crash and burn.
Yeah, and based upon their pitching, I don't see them beating up the Brewers in the NL Central.
No, you know, and the Brewers made really smart ads. You know, they picked up Escobar, and I'm trying to think they made another ad today, and I'm drawing a blank on who it was. Or at least I thought they made another ad today. So.
Well, there was a lot of transactions floating around today, that's for sure.
Yeah. Little difficult to keep up with everything. Yeah, you know, and the other thing that bothered me is, you know, having to be the first person to break the story and then reporting that, you know, well, these teams are finalizing a deal. And I think they did it three or four times where that deal never happened. But they were reporting it as being finalized. Like, okay, great, you guys are morons. You know, you're telling us this is happening and we're not getting a deal. Oh, yeah, the Brewers picked up Daniel Norris to add to the bullpen for the Tigers, from the Tigers. So,
well, that's such a bad deal.
No, you know, and their bullpen, you know, he just adds length to it with that bullpen. So that's,
exactly.
You know, that's fine.
Exactly. Yeah, I guess most of the rumors and the deals at the last minute, they're coming to fruition, though, especially when it comes to the Cubs. All those deals seem to be official now.
Yeah, well, you know, the one that got me was, you know, they had Max Scherzer going to the Padres last night. I went to bed thinking he was going to be a Padre.
That was a shocker.
I woke up this morning, and all of a sudden he's a Dodger. Like, okay, you want to tell me what happened?
Does anybody know what happened? What caused that switch?
You know, my big question is, obviously, it was somebody's over-anxious reporting that got it all started, but with the package the Dodgers offered, it's really understandable why the Nationals went that way. You know, I mean, they gave up the top catching prospect in baseball. They gave up a pitcher who actually has just made his major league debut with the Dodgers. And then two more, another right-handed pitcher and an outfielder who are actually both projected to be major league players. They may not be all-stars, but they'll be major league players. So the Nationals got four contributing major league players in that deal.
You see, the thing is that the Dodgers' farm system is so strong that they can afford to do that. And in return,
right,
they got two quality players in return.
Yeah, and they'll have Turner. Turner has another year on his deal. You know, he's got one more arbitration year, so if they can't sign Corey Seager for some reason, Turner just takes over at shortstop and they try to sign him.
Yeah, I think when it's all said and done, I still think the Dodgers are going to wind up winning the division.
Boy, you know, they really look like the best team. You know, when you put them out there and you look at their roster and – you know, I mean, the one negative is they probably could have used another bullpen piece. You know, that's about the one issue they have. And I know they were in on Kimbrel and just couldn't get anything done. I was a little surprised, unless I missed this deal, but I'm really surprised the Angels closer didn't move. You know, they have Raciel Iglesias, and, you know, they traded Andrew Heaney, so there's no reason to hang on to – you know, you trade your best starter, there's no real reason to hang on to anybody else. Well, your best pitching starter, Ohtani, would be probably number two.
Right.
You know, why not deal him? You couldn't get something out of the Dodgers for Iglesias?
Yeah, you would think. And, I just have a thought for you now that regarding Kimbrel. Is he going to be the closer for the White Sox or the setup man?
What they actually said is they are both going to get save opportunities depending on the situation.
Well, that'll be interesting.
So,
Hendricks has one kind of a weakness, and when he comes in for a save opportunity, when they hit him, they don't just hit singles. They hit the long ball off of him.
So, but yeah, no, it makes for, you know, a hell of a back end of the bullpen. You know, if they can piece, you know, another guy together or two, or if Aaron Bummer can just turn into what everybody keeps saying he's going to be, they could have the best bullpen in baseball heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, they have Kopech, too. Kopech is a very talented pitcher.
Oh, yeah, Kopech, yeah. So, yeah, that could be a dominant, you know, bullpen come playoff time. You know, not to mention Garrett Crochet, who's really good at getting left-handers out.
Yeah.
You know, I know he has his issues with righties, but he can get the lefties out. So,
if they can get everybody back healthy, they're really going to be a very, very serious contender in the American League playoffs.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, by acquiring Hernandez, you know, that locks up second base. And if Luis Roberts actually gets back and is healthy, this is a dangerous team.
Very dangerous, yeah.
You know, because, you know, both Jimenez and Robert will have plenty of at-bats to be ready come playoff time. You know,
Houston,
I mean, Jimenez
still the best
has
team
two
in the American
moments.
League, do you think? Is Houston the number one team in the American League? Or
Boston? God, you know, it's so tough to say. I haven't been a believer in Boston, so I would probably lean a little bit to Houston, but you know, once Chris Sale comes back, if he proves he can give them, you know, 5-6 innings to start, could easily be Boston.
Yeah. And will they kind of limit his innings, I assume, when he starts to pitch?
Yeah. Well, you know, and don't forget, you know, Tampa is right there, too, knocking on the door. You know, they're just magical for whatever reason.
Every year. No matter what they have, whatever their roster is, they are a successful team, and they're, as you say, they're not all that far behind Boston.
You know, I think they're 2.5 games or a game and a half or something like that. I mean, they are right there. So,
yeah,
you know what I mean? If they don't win the division, they're definitely looking like a wild card team.
No question about it.
So, yeah, you know, and it's, you know, and again, and you look at their everyday lineup and even their pitching staff, and you just kind of wonder how they do it.
Yeah, and we ask this question year after year. And they're always up there and always a contender.
You know, I mean, yeah, you look and they don't have any big name. You know, their guy who was having their best season, Tyler Glasnow, is hurt, and they're still hanging around.
Yeah, they continue to surprise me. Of course, Oakland always is a respectable team, also.
Yeah. Oakland's in the same boat. I mean, you know, but at least, you know, they really added. You know, Tampa Bay only made the one big add with Nelson Cruz, and while that is a huge add, you know, Oakland went out and actually, you know, really, really put some pieces together. You know, they picked up Starling Marte. I'm trying to think. They added, what was it, Yan Gomes today, Josh Harrison. So they put in, you know, Andrew Chafin. So they really put in some really nice complementary pieces to what they already had. So,
yeah, and Starling Marte can be a very, very valuable addition to them. And I knew he was going. We all knew he was going. But, boy, they got a strong player.
It was just inevitable. Yeah.
We knew it was a done deal. And, listen, he's not the – what is he in? He's only in his early 30s, right, Marte? Isn't he 32, 33?
He has to be. Let me see if I can get it here really quick for you. He is 32. So.
And this guy now has an opportunity to play for a contender.
Yeah, first time in his career.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know Miami play successful year, but let's face it, they weren't exactly a contender. So.
Well, during that, it's hard to even consider last year as a normal season anyway,
yeah.
So they're back to where they belong this year.
Yeah. You know, I know everybody was excited and thinking they were going to do something. I wasn't quite on that bandwagon, and, you know, again, I seem to have nailed that one. So.
Right. And speaking of nailing things down, by the way, the only good thing about the Cubs' move today is that it solidified our prediction for where the Cubs are going to wind up in this season.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I don't think they'll be bad enough to have the Pirates pass them, but they're definitely a fourth-place team.
No question about it, no matter what Dan predicted.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, Dan was drinking the Kool-Aid and actually had them winning the division. I guess he was hoping for that last hurrah before everybody went away. But, yeah, it didn't. Not going to happen.
It's funny. Just think, a few weeks ago, the Cubs were at their all-time high in the season. They no-hit the Dodgers on the road. Of course, it was a joint no-hitter. And after that, well, things fell apart very quickly.
Yeah, well, you know, and I'm not surprised. I had said all along that this was a weak pitching staff, and everybody bought in because they feasted against an easy schedule. And, you know, I mean, I understand people want to get excited. It's your favorite team, but You have to be able to, you know, see the forest through the trees, as they say.
Yeah.
This wasn't a good team.
Well, you have to feel for David Ross and Contreras and Kyle Hendricks after what happened today.
Yeah, well, you know, it is difficult, you know, but like a guy like Contreras, I don't expect him to be around. You know, my guess is he gets moved in the off season. For whatever reason, they're committed to Kyle Hendricks. They had said they won't be moving him. So he apparently is here for the duration, poor guy.
Yeah, and he's a good pitcher, but he is not as good as everybody thinks he is. I don't consider him a true number one.
No, he's not a number one, but he would look he'd look really good on a playoff team's number three.
Yeah, that I agree with.
You know, that would be the perfect slot for him, as I can't get these hiccups to go away.
Little water will take care of that. And in the meantime, though, for Hendricks, boy, he does have a tendency to give up the long ball.
Yeah, well, you know, the sad part is that's the new wave in baseball, because they hit so many home runs, everybody gives them up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even the good ones, they were talking about that with Max Scherzer. Somebody mentioned that he had given up a few more home runs this year. Well, why is that? Because everybody hits home runs.
Yeah. Or else they strike out.
Yeah, well, that was the thing they forgot to mention, is he's also coming up on, I believe, 3,000 strikeouts for his career.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to bet he's had a lot more strikeouts than he has given up home runs. Going out on a limb there.
Yeah, it's true. What are the Met fans going to do when Javi comes up with runners in scoring position in a crucial time of the game and strikes out a pitch that bounces in the home plate?
Yeah, you know, they're used to that. You know, they've seen him play before. It's nothing, you know, not nothing new there.
And, of course, all these guys are going to go on a tear now, all these guys that were dealt.
Yeah,
probably. The Cubs did manage to field a team tonight. Here's their lineup. You'll love this. Rafael Ortega is leading off in center. Wilson Contreras is hitting second and catching. Your favorite Cub, Ian Happ, is hitting third in left field. Patrick Wisdom is fourth at first. David Bote is fifth at second. Jason Hayward is sixth in right. Matt Duffy is seventh at third. Sergio Alcantara is hitting eighth at shortstop. And Jake Arrieta has been activated off the IL and will be the starting pitcher tonight.
Well, that gives me a lot of confidence in a Washington victory.
Yeah, well, hey, like I said, good thing they're playing the Nationals, because they ain't got much of a lineup left either.
No, it's a poor excuse for a baseball game tonight in Washington.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I saw that and I was like, oh, okay, well, at least they put a lineup out. And I was wondering who was going to pitch because Trevor Williams was scheduled. But obviously he was part of the Javi Baez deal.
Health-wise, is Schwarber ready to return to action in a week or two for Boston?
Yeah. You know, he should be getting close. I haven't heard officially, but as far as I know, he's getting close. And just so you know, Anthony Rizzo's hitting cleanup for the Yankees tonight. So.
Oh, brother. Well, you'll be able to watch the game, but I can't. I don't think it'll be on MLB.
Yeah, he's definitely going yard tonight. You know that, right?
Of course he is.
So.
Well, he said that if he had played all season in Yankee Stadium, he would have doubled his home run output this year.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. You know.
Yeah, he would have. They said they worked it out that he would have had 23 home runs this season instead of what 11 or 14? Is it 14? Something like that.
Yeah. You know, well, you know, it's a good place for a left-handed hitter, and with his approach, you know, I think he's going to do quite well there. And while I don't think the Yankees are going to catch the Red Sox, I do think the Red Sox are going to be kicking themselves for not being able to acquire Rizzo, because apparently their plan is for Kyle Schwarber to take over as their everyday first baseman.
Has Schwarber ever played first base? I'm trying to remember if he played for the first base.
Not since Class A. He has not played. That was reported today.
And is that going to cause wear and tear on his knees, playing first base? Or?
Well, you know, it might be a little easier than the outfield, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I thought for sure he would be their DH.
They got J.D. Martinez eating up those at-bats.
That's true also. Yeah, that's some interesting stuff going to go down the last 2 months of the season. But not here.
Yeah, it's...
Not for the Cubs.
Yeah,
for the White Sox, for sure.
It's going to be a lot of people losing here, but, you know, that's nothing new.
Hey, there's always... The Bears are coming up soon, so maybe we have a good team to look forward to.
Yeah, I'm sorry, not buying that, but
no.
You know, there are a lot of people that are. You know, to be fair, there are a lot of people. I've seen people who think the Bears are going to the playoffs, and I mean, I don't know how they're beating the Packers now that Aaron Rodgers has decided to return, but apparently they are. So...
Well, I haven't heard very many good things about their phenomenal new rookie quarterback.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody is up in arms because they keep coming out and saying Andy Dalton's the starter week one, and everybody's upset because they want Fields to be the starter week one. So,
well, they want him to get pummeled. They would put him in as a starter in week one.
Yeah, you know, and it's just, but you know, I mean, you know how people get, you know, you get something like this and you get all excited, but you know, it's just, it just gets ridiculous that they think, you know, this kid is going to come in and save the team. Well,
I remember when Johnny Unitas had his first game as a quarterback, he was playing the Bears. Well, let me put it this way. It wasn't a Unitas-like performance in his first game against the Bears. He was pummeled. They destroyed him. So it's not easy for a rookie, even a great Hall of Famer like Unitas, to come in their first game and avoid getting shellacked.
You know, and I mean, I would have to hunt down Dan's favorite search engine to get the answer to this, but who has a rookie quarterback ever – taken his team to a Super Bowl or won a Super Bowl?
Boy, that's a good question.
So, you know, so I get it that you get excited that it looks like, you know, the team is going to improve. But, you know, again, it's just another situation where they get carried away with these, oh, you know, they're going to be this and they're going to be that. And, you know, the minute Aaron Rodgers walked back into Packers camp, they immediately became the division winner because none of the other teams are any good.
No. And were you actually surprised that that happened? I wasn't.
No, I knew it was going to happen all along. It was just a matter of, you know, A, him not wanting to go to OTAs because none of the players do. So he found a way out of that. And then B, he wanted his contract renegotiated, so he got that as well.
Yeah, which didn't surprise me or you.
Yeah, you know, it's just how, you know, how it goes.
Well, they got to be a serious Super Bowl contender again.
Yeah. So, oh, here, I just answered my own question. No rookie quarterback has ever made the Super Bowl.
Well, no surprise.
They have made the AFC and NFC championship games, but yeah, no rookie quarterback has ever taken his team to the Super Bowl. So there you go, Bears fans. There's your answer to your quarterback question.
So you're discouraging the Bears fans this year by saying that the Bears will not win the Super Bowl. You're going on record now. Can I quote you officially?
Oh yeah, I'll go on record. I'll go on record right now and say the Bears aren't going to make the Super Bowl. So
I'm taking it to the bank.
I have no issue with that. I mean, I know it's still July, but yeah, they're not going to the Super Bowl. I honestly don't even expect them to be a playoff team.
Will he win more than 7 games?
Well, maybe. You know, there is that extra game this year. Maybe they'll go 8
right,
and 9.
Right.
So.
No, I think 7 and 10 is more logical, but we'll see what happens.
So, yeah, you know, and then I saw the Bulls added a one player because they only had one draft pick last night. They got that guard from Illinois whose name I can't pronounce. So.
Was it a good choice? I don't know.
I have no clue. You know, being that it was a second-round pick, those guys generally don't do a lot in the NBA with the exception of Jimmy Butler. But, you know, you never know with the way the NBA draft has changed and now allowing the kids who don't go to college and play in the G League to enter the draft after the 1 year. You know, maybe. You know, I mean, he had a really good year at Illinois, but he stunk against Loyola when they got beat. So I don't know.
Yeah, well, maybe that was an aberration, and maybe he'll develop into a decent player for the Bulls, but I'm not counting on it.
No, you know, I mean, I would like him to. That would be fantastic, but I don't have a huge amount of hope that that's going to happen. I mean, the Bulls haven't exactly been known for developing players.
I guess we can expect the Blackhawks to have a good chance of making the playoffs, but we're not looking for the Bulls to do it. Upcoming season.
No, you know, with the addition the Blackhawks made, I they should do quite well this year. I mean, they made, I was surprised they made some big moves.
Well, the biggest one was getting Fleury. That's a huge move.
Yeah, well, you know, the defenseman was a nice add, too. I mean, Jones is a top, you know, he's a number one defenseman.
And if Tays can come back healthy and play up to his normal standards, they can be a good team.
Yeah, you know, and that, you know, that'll be the key is if he actually comes back. So.
Yeah, I read about his illness. It was an odd one, and I forgot the name of it, but it just was perpetually tired, and supposedly now he's healthy again. We'll see if he can actually sustain a full season in the NHL. That's not going to be easy.
Yeah, you know, that's going to be the tough part because, you know, it is a grind. So,
As far as I know, they'll be back to their normal full schedule this season, too.
Yeah, that that's the plan as of right now. So, again, we'll see what goes on now that we're dealing with this variant and, all the other things that goes on,
We thought that things were getting better in terms of the COVID. Now there's these variants, as you pointed out, and causing problems and states regressing and people not getting the vaccine when they have an opportunity to do so.
Yeah, and again, I understand we have a free society and people are allowed to choose. So I'm not, killing anybody for not doing it, but you think you would at least look into it.
Maybe the Yankees will make Rizzo get the vaccine.
Yeah. So, we'll have to see again. I understood his reasoning, So.
Well, I wish him great luck. I hope he has a great season with the Yankees.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if the Cubs make a play to try to bring a Rizzo or a Baez back next year. I mean, obviously, they just got a lot of money off the books. So, who knows?
Well, according to one report I read, the Cubs have no plans to bring Rizzo back next season, although the same thing like in pro wrestling, never say never.
Right. That's just kind of how those things, go. That's just what you say and, who knows. But, what Cub fans have to remember when you're looking and you're going to blame Jed Hoyer or you're going to blame the Ricketts, don't forget it was Theo Epstein that got you into this. There were opportunities for them to try to sign these guys so they wouldn't all end with the same year, or there were deals out there. There's no reason Chris Bryant shouldn't have been traded a couple of years ago. I mean, could you imagine the value you could have gotten for him then?
They knew,
after all the BS with the call-up and then the crappy contract offer they made to him, they knew they weren't going to be able to re-sign him. Start looking for that deal. But, no, Theo held on to his guys. Kyle Schwarber had huge value after the World Series. Theo promised those 50 home runs out of him. Yeah, if he wouldn't have got injured, he may have done that this year with Washington. Not in a Cub uniform, but with Washington.
No, exactly.
So, you've got to really, Theo Epstein won a World Series, and that's the only thing anybody's going to remember, but he's also the guy who put you in this hole, and that's why he ran away. That's why he's not president of the team this year, because he didn't want to make these decisions on his guy.
Yeah, he was reluctant to break up the team, and it's certainly cost the Cubs in a big way.
Right. We were promised Ian Happ was going to be the next Ben Zobrist. He's not even the next Ben, Big Ben. So.
Yeah, I doubt very much if his average will ever get over 200 this season. And as I pointed out many times, they should pull the plug on him. But now he's a lock to remain with the team of the rest of the season.
Oh yeah, he's not going anywhere. That's he's not only that, he'll probably play every day. So maybe they'll get lucky and he'll figure it out. But and that's what I hate. Like everybody's posting on my Facebook page about how terrible this is, and they haven't won anything since 2016. They haven't even competed to win anything since 2016. They were in fourth place with these guys. What are they losing?
Yeah, they were, as you pointed out, they were in fourth place with these guys, and now that they're gone, they're still going to wind up in fourth place.
Right.
You know, I mean, yeah, it sucks because these guys were on the World Series winner, but, you know, that team should have went to multiple World Series and didn't.
Though they did get into the playoffs.
So, yeah, oh, yeah, and then they got knocked out by the Marlins last year. How exciting
is
that?
Yeah.
So.
The truck is left with the Cubs, and I'm afraid we're in for two or three years of rebuilding. Unless, as you pointed out, things change in baseball nowadays, and maybe they can make a couple of judicious deals in the off season now that they have money, and some of these guys come through, and they'll be back by 2024 competing again.
Yeah, you know, if they spend some money, they got a chance. You know, there will be free agents out there. So, you know, we'll see. But I don't expect them. I think it's going to take probably 4 years before they're back in playoff contention again. So, but all right, well, let's jump into some picks here. You did split last week. You went 2-2. So you are 48-45. And, you know, we'll go with the basics to start off with because neither team has started playing yet. Of course, we know it's the Cubs at the Nationals. I mentioned Jake Arrieta gets the start for the Cubs, and Paolo Espino is the National starter. Tell me who wins this game, and then tell me everything you know about Paolo Espino, the National starter.
I know absolutely nothing about him. But even though I know nothing about him, I'm going to predict that Washington will defeat the Cubs tonight.
Going with the home team, huh? All right. Now, the White Sox are here in Chicago. They're hosting the second-place Cleveland Indians. J.C. Mejia is making the start for the Indians, and it's Lance Lynn for the White Sox. Who you got winning that game?
I go for the White Sox winning this one tonight. Before a raucous home crowd.
We will lock in the Friday picks. Let's jump to Saturday and see what we have listed here. Which team do we want to go with? I guess we'll go with the Cubs. Tomorrow, Kyle Hendricks gets the start for the Cubs while the Nationals are undecided. So what I want you to tell me is over or under, do these teams combine for 11.5 or more hits? Are they over 11.5 or under in the hit total?
That's a tough one. I will, I'll go for over.
All right. And then we will jump to Sunday. Let me find the White Sox game here. Or who are there? There we go. Cal Quantrill makes the start for the White Sox and or for the Indians. Sorry. And Dylan Cease is the White Sox starter. So let's go with the over-under number for combined runs. Let's go 7.5 in this game. Do the teams go over or under that?
I will once again go with over.
All right. So we are all set for your picks here this week, and we will have to play along and see how you do.
Well, I've been kind of 50% for the entire season so far.
Yeah, well, technically you're a little over, so at least you would be making a little money.
Yeah, not much.
But some is better than none, right?
That's true. True.
I think my mother used to tell me that about different things, so.
When the Cubs won a game, my mother would always say, "What good does it do you when they won the game?" I can never give her a good answer.
Oh, see, my mother always used to ask my father when he would yell at the TV if they could hear him.
That's a good one too.
That was always quite humorous. Do you think they can hear you? So, you know.
And, of course, he had no good answer for that.
Oh, yeah, what do you say? You know, it's just a way of you know, taking out your, I don't know, frustration, I guess. You know, how does that work? So, but, yeah, it was always quite humorous. You know, and I guess, you know, as we're ticking down here, you know, the Cubs do have a 6:05 start. I know you have to make dinner, unless Linda allowed you to order out again. But are you planning on watching?
I will watch the game, at least for the first hour. Of course, I can't miss SmackDown, but I might watch the first hour of the Cub game.
You know. So, yeah, and then, you know, and then, of course, well, you can watch the first hour and then the White Sox start. You can switch over to that.
Right. Right, I will definitely have to do that because obviously that's the more important of the two games when they're playing the second place team, the White Sox. I hope they have over 30,000 tonight at the ballpark.
Yeah, you know, it would be nice. I mean, it's a nice night. It's not hot like it's been the last few days. We got a winning team that actually made a couple of really good adds at the trade deadline. It's not like they stood pat, so they're trying to win.
They are.
But, yeah.
Well, did you notice,
you know,
did you notice how many White Sox fans were in Milwaukee for that series?
No, I did see a few, but I didn't really pay attention.
Yeah, it looked like it was a capacity crowd for all three games.
Yeah, well, that's good. Maybe they'll do well tonight then. I mean, I doubt too many Indian fans are driving in, even though they are in second place, but they basically were sellers at the deadline. I know they, you know, the White Sox got Hernandez and they traded Rosario. I know he's injured right now, but I can't remember where he went, but they dealt him somewhere.
Right. The White Sox wound up losing 3 out of 4 to Kansas City, didn't they?
I think so. You know, well, yesterday, you know, they had a very odd makeshift lineup. I don't know if you caught their starting lineup, but they gave a bunch of guys days off.
Well, with a big lead, I think that's a good move.
So, yeah, you know, and it is smart to get these guys to rest. I mean, it sucked for Carlos Rodon because he still had to take his turn in the rotation, so he didn't get very much support. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it
I think he gave up 4 or 5
either.
Runs anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, 5 runs, 5-0 loss. So they have to bounce back tonight at home.
Yeah, and, you know, there's no reason they shouldn't. I mean, the team should be energized getting, you know, picking up a guy like Craig Kimbrell. That's got to be exciting for them. You know, and just knowing your front office thinks you can win has got to be a great feeling.
What do you think Hendricks thought about that deal for the White Sox?
You know, I mean, I doubt he would have much problem with it. I mean, he seems like a pretty good guy. Everybody says he's a great guy. You know, you got to figure he wants to win a World Series. That helps them.
Yeah. You know, as I mentioned before, when he gives up a hit in a safe situation, it's not usually a single.
You know, and then on the plus side, it's better than him ending up with another American League contender.
That's true.
It's music needs to sound good because he wants to get to that Cubs game. So if you need to be don't forget to Twitter for you. Have a good weekend, everybody.